Ve'ele toledot Yitzchak ben Avraham. Avraham holid et Yitzchak. And these are the offspring of Yitzchak, the son of Avraham. Avraham sired Yitzchak. Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernovsky, and this edition is for Parshat Toledot. And I dispensed with the opening shtick, both the music, tell you the truth, I was looking for the old Campbell Soup good commercial, and I had a hard time finding it. And I really don't know if it's appropriate, especially when Israel is having a situation down south. Many, many people are living in their shelters. Many have moved out of their communities temporarily to stay with friends and relatives in safer parts of the country. And Imir Tashem and Be'ezrat Hashem, Israel will come out of this militarily as well as politically, although that's to be seen, okay, and hopefully better than okay. But I think it will be appropriate to say not only Psalm 121, which we were going to say because today is Rosh Chodesh, but also Psalm 130, which we usually say when we do say Tachanun. And at Mincha today at the Israel Center, we said them both. And I think we should do that here as well. And in addition, I will read them in English. I usually don't, but every so often I should. And this is as good a time as any. All with the prayer that God answer the best of our prayers the way they are meant to be said. And that Israeli army should be totally successful and Hamas should be brought down to its knees or further. We'll start with 121, Tehillim Kuf Kaf Aleph. Shir Lama Alot, Esoinai El Heharim Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri Me'im Adonai Osei Shamayim Va'oretz. Al Yitain Lamot Raglecha, Al Yanum Shomerecha. Hine lo yanum velo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilecha al yad yeminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka v'yoreach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra yishmoret nafshecha. Adonai yishmoret seitecha uvoecha me'ata v'yad olam. A song of ascent. I search the heights, there is no help there. Help comes from God, creator of heaven and earth. He does not let you fall, never napping. Because the guardian of Israel does not slumber. God is your guardian, your reliable protector. During the day the sun does not harm you, nor during night do the beams of the moon. God protects your soul from every evil. God guards your coming and your going forever. Kuf Lamed, Psalm 130. Shir Hama'alot, Mima'amakim Kraticha Adonai. Adonai Shimavakoli, Tihiena Aznecha Kashuvot Lakol Tachanunai. Imavonot Tishmorya Adonai Mia Amod, Ki Imacha Hasalicha Lama'an Tivare. Ki Viti Adonai Kivata Nafshi Velidvoro Hocholti. Nafshi l'Adonai mi shomerim laboker, shomerim laboker. Yachel Yisrael el Adonai ki im Adonai ha-chesed v'harbe imo fedut. V'hu yifteh et Yisrael mikol avonotav. A song of ascent. My God, it is from the depths that I call. Hashem, please listen to my voice in prayer. Hashem, if you keep count of the sins, no one survives. But forgiveness is yours, and you do we worship. I placed my soulful trust in God and His Word. My soul now awaits the Lord night and day, day and night. Israel places its trust in God for his loving kindness and salvation, and he will save Israel from all its sins. English translation, by the way, comes from a relatively new volume called Psalms in Plain English by a Dr. Aaron Lichtenstein, cousin of the well-known Rosh Yeshiva here in Israel. But this is English rendition by Aaron Lichtenstein, published by Urim Publications. And if you do say Tehillim in English, I think this comes closest to be normal talk, and therefore people can relate to it rather than the thy and thou and stuff like that. One more prayer, and that is the Mishaberach L'Chayalei Tzahal. I'll do that in English as well, after the Hebrew. Mishaberach Avoteinu Avraham Yitzchak V'Yaakov, Hu Yivarech Et Chayalei Tzava Hagana L'Yisrael V'Anshei Kochot HaBitachon HaOmedim Al Mishmar Arzenu V'Orei Eloheinu Migvul HaLevonon V'Ad Midbar Mitzrayim U'min Hayam HaGadol Ad Levo HaArava U'v'chol Makom Shehem B'Yabasha B'Avir U'Vayam Yitein Adonai Et Oyevenu HaKamim Aleinu Nigafim Lifneihem HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yishmor V'Yatzil Et Chayaleinu Mikol Tzara V'Tzuka Mikol Nega U'Machala V'Yishlach Baracha V'Hatzlacha B'Chol Maseh Yedeihem Yadber Soneinu Tachtehem V'Atereim B'Cheser Cheter Yeshua V'Ateret Nitzachon V'Kuyam Bohem HaKatuv Ki Adonai Eloheichem HaHolech Imachem L'Hilachem Lachem Im Oyeveichem L'Hoshia Eschem V'Nomar Amen. May he who blesses our ancestors, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, bless the members of Israel's defense forces and its security services, who stand guard over our land and the cities of our God, from the Lebanese border to the Egyptian desert, from the Mediterranean Sea to the approach of the Arava, and wherever else they are, on land, in air, and at sea. May God make the enemies who rise against us be struck down before them. May the Holy One, blessed be He, protect and deliver them from all trouble and distress, affliction and illness, and send blessing and success to all the work of their hands. May He subdue our enemies under them and crown them with deliverance and victory. And may there be fulfilled in them the verse, "It is Hashem, your God, who goes with you to fight for you against your enemies, to deliver you." And let us say, Amen. I hope I didn't read that too awkwardly. I'm not comfortable with reading it in English, although I frequently recite it in Hebrew as one of the Gabaim. And I think it says exactly how people feel today. I mean, we're celebrating, so to speak, Rosh Chodesh Kislev. Rosh Chodesh Kislev brings to mind Chanukah. Chanukah is a prime example and model of a partnership between God and the people of Israel, standing up to the enemies of Israel and fighting together. This is an old story. I don't mean Hanukkah. The old story is that there are Jews who are loath to give credit to human beings because they feel that takes away the credit from God. There are others who are loath to give credit to God because they think that takes away the credit that is due the human effort. And the realness of it, I was going to say reality, the realness of the situation is that there is a partnership between God and the people of Israel. Sometimes God's role is more obvious and upfront. Sometimes it's more subtle. But we believe that it is always there. But we cannot sit on our hands. We were told once, when we first came out of Egypt, stand by and watch what God will do for us. All the rest of the time, including later in that very same Parshat HaShavua, Bishalach, that introduced us to that concept of stand by and watch what God will do. At the end, you have Amalek coming to attack Israel, and God commands Moshe to tell Yehoshua to gather an army, and there is a partnership between the military force, between the prayer support, and between God, who will fight on our behalf. So that's what we ask for, and that's what we believe in, and that does not take away one iota from the training and the skill of IDF, Tzahal. Thank God they are a great army, and with all other efforts underway, I saw a report on the TV this morning that there had been something like 70, more than 70 interceptions of rockets that were fired into Israel. Israel also destroyed many of the silos that from which are launched the long-range rockets. And I hope we will not buckle to the pressure from certain segments of the international community to end the violence, not before we have accomplished a very worthwhile and useful and helpful achievement on the ground in Gaza. Achenu kol beit Yisrael hanatunim batzara uvashivya ha'omedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha ha'makom yirachem aleihem ויוציאם מצרה לרווחה ומאפלה לאורה ומשיבוד לגאולה, השתה בעגלה ובזמן קריב ונאמר אמן. As for our brothers of the whole house of Israel who are in distress or captivity on sea or land, may the all present have compassion on them and lead them from distress to relief, from darkness to light, and from oppression to freedom. Now, swiftly and soon, and let us say Amen.
Achenu kol beis Yisrael hanesunim batzara uvashivya. I'm dim, bein bayam, uvein bayabasha. Achenu kol beis Yisrael, hanesunim batzara uvashivya. Oh, may I fade away. shivod ligula hashta bagala uvizman kahari.
Sometime in the middle of yesterday, and first let me plug you into the time here, recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the first day of Kislev 5773, Rosh Chodesh, corresponding to November 15th. So yesterday, Wednesday, when Israel took out the two top commanders, military commanders of Hamas in Gaza, and Hamas declared open war against Israel. Someone asked me, have you heard the news? I hadn't. I was busy. And went to Israel National News, Israel National Radio, Arutz 7, and got the latest information that they had, then turned on the radio and started listening to more. So that plugs you in as a person, a Jew, and as a person living in Israel. It's still a little bit distant until you find out that your son-in-law's unit was called up to the army, and people you work with, their son was called up or put on alert, someone else's husband, and then it becomes a lot closer. And of course, it's a small enough country that you can't really distance yourself psychologically as well as physically from any part of the country. We know that certain areas in the north and certain areas in the south have been under rocket fire for a long time. And I think most people's reaction is it's about time Israel decided to do what they have to do, what they should have done all along. And I hope they won't stop until mission accomplished. No country in the world, no country in the world would act and has acted with such amazing restraint, and when they do something with such care, to avoid civilian casualties as Israel. And yet Israel will be condemned in the international arena by many countries. Israel deserves a tremendous amount of praise because of the care and the risk that they take in order to preserve as much life as they can. Anyway, those are thoughts going through my mind. Because this is a weekly show and it's connected to Parshat HaShavua, I always think in those terms also. And I don't think we could avoid the result of the ultrasound, so to speak, of Rivka Imenu, Mother Rebecca, who became pregnant after 20 years of marriage and felt turmoil inside. She had a very rough pregnancy. Vayitrotzitzu habanim bekirba, vayitomer imkein lama ze anochi. And she said, if so, why am I thus? Vatelech lidrosh et Hashem. She went to ask God what the situation was. My comment about ultrasound was just being a little flippant. So this is a spiritual ultrasound, we'll say. The answer that she got was Shnei Goyim Bevitnech, two nations, the fathers of two nations, are in your womb. Ushnei Le'umim Mimeayech Yiparedu, and two regimes, translation in the Stone Chumash, from your insides shall be separated. The might shall pass from one regime to the other, and the elder shall serve the younger. That's when she found out in the actual ultrasound and the spiritual ultrasound that she was carrying twins. She at first thought it was turmoil from a single fetus. And these nations, we don't have to now check lineage and be accurate as to who Hamas comes from. We know who the people of Israel and the Jewish people come from. And Hamas, whether they are direct descendants from Yishmael or Esav or Amalek, who was a grandson of Esav, or spiritual descendants, which they certainly are, with a desire to wipe Israel off the map, a desire to hurt and to kill Jews living in Israel, and sometimes elsewhere. So there's a tie-in to the Parsha, and I think we should spend some time talking about Parshat Toledot. We'll be back with more Torah Tidbits audio for Parshat Toledot in a moment. You are listening to Torah Tidbits audio for Parshat Toledot, and I decided to begin this second part with reading to you from the website of IsraelNationalNews.com. I don't know, especially if you're listening outside of Israel, how detailed the news is. I would imagine you get a broad picture, possibly biased, but this is what we are reading. Terror's toll, 3 killed, infants and children injured. 3 people were killed as a result of a Grad rocket attack on Kiryat Malachi Thursday morning. The 3 were killed during or within minutes of the attack after efforts to save them failed. 6 others were injured, including 2 infants, one of them 8 months old. An additional victim, a 4-year-old boy, was taken to Tel HaShomer Hospital in central Israel for treatment along with his father. The boy was in serious condition and the father in moderate condition. Altogether, 7 people were injured in the Kiryat Malachi attack. 6 others were treated for shock in the attack. The 3 killed were a married couple in their 30s and an individual in his 20s. The victims were killed and injured when a Grad rocket hit an apartment building in Kiryat Malachi. The dead were among a large group that had taken refuge in an old building that suffered a direct hit from a Grad rocket. Rescue teams were trying to remove victims of the attack from the rubble and were preparing for the possibility of more casualties, Magen David Adom officials said. I won't read the rest, but this just shows you what we are experiencing. Now, on a, I don't know how to call this, on a different kind of note, in the last couple of weeks when we in Israel heard of Superstorm or Frankenstorm Sandy and the devastation that it caused, the death toll, the damage, and then you start hearing people that you know flooded here, people living in their home whose homes were destroyed or severely damaged, and what what comes to mind is really what we said in that prayer, Achenu Kol Beit Yisrael, all the house of Israel are brothers. Doesn't matter where you live, doesn't matter how religious or not you are, Jews, the Jewish people, are a unified, I can't really say that, the Jewish people should be a unified people. The unity of Jewishness must be far greater than any of the many, many things that divide us. On a further note, we have to be very careful not to attribute things that happen anywhere to specifics, unless a person is a true prophet of God and can say, Ko Amar Hashem Elokei Yisrael, thus says God, and then give an explanation. We can't do it. We were appalled when certain people said, oh, you know why there was so much damage from Hurricane Sandy? Because the Jews haven't made Aliyah from there. I think it's lamentable that Jews have entrenched themselves into communities in the States and elsewhere and are not making Aliyah. But I don't believe that we have the right to suggest this happened because of so-and-so. And this is nothing new. I remember years and years ago, I don't remember how many years ago, there was a terrible accident where a train hit a school bus that had stalled on the tracks, killing children from a certain city, I won't even mention which one, and some people were quoted as saying, this happened because movie theaters are open on Friday night in that city. To me, that's a terribly, terribly insensitive and irresponsible thing to say. You can say in broad generalities, we all need to be better people in the hopes that things, bad things won't happen, that we will be spared and we will be protected from bad things. But to start making reasons why things happen, playing God, only if God instructs a prophet to say something, then we have to listen and accept it. But this wild, insensitive speculation that people dabble in is very, very hurtful in my opinion. So I am not suggesting any reason. I am just saying we need to be better people, better Jews, pray more, but indeed do better things so that God will say, I will protect them from this or that or the other thing. Okay. Parshat Toledot can be subdivided into three parts. The first part is the story of the births of Yaakov and Esav. The right up front, as I mentioned earlier, the turmoil within Rivka's womb became an indication of friction that will continue with the descendants of these twins. And we have the first example of that as part of this first section. And that is the transfer of the birthright from Esav to Yaakov. And the simple reading is that it was an exchange for lechem unizid adashim, bread and a porridge of lentils. It's not that simply put by our commentaries, but let's keep it simple at the moment and say that the first portion is not only the birth of Yaakov and Esav, but the acquisition of the birthright by Yaakov from Esav, and that was a first cause of ill feelings from Esav vis-a-vis Yaakov. Then you have a portion where the boys are not on the scene. Exactly when it happens, we're not sure. And that was a famine, like in the days of Avraham, drove Yitzchak out of Canaan proper, and he was told by God, don't go to Egypt like your father did. Stay in this land. You can go to Gerar, which is the Aza region, ironically, which is part of Eretz Yisrael, but under the rule of Avimelech, Melech Pelishtim. And Yitzchak does, and poses as brother and sister with Rivka, echoing very, very strongly that which we have read previously about Avraham and Sarah. And this points out, emphasizes the role of Yitzchak as being the link from the starter of Judaism, Avraham, with all future generations. And therefore, the strongest quality of that link is that it was a successful copy, in part, of the first link. Did not go wildly off on its own, as Yaakov's story did, but Yitzchak, in the image of Avraham, the Torah making the point by saying, Yitzchak ben Avraham, Avraham holid et Yitzchak. A superfluous part of a description, but that Avraham sired Yitzchak in more ways than just physically is very clear by the many, many episodes and items of similarity between what Yitzchak did and what his father did. So that's the second part. The third part is back to the continuing saga, so to speak, of Esav and Yaakov, Yaakov and Esav. This time it is not the Bechora that is at stake, it is the Beracha. And I will never believe there is only a coincidental issue to the fact that Bechora and Beracha are anagrams of each other, requiring only the switch transposition of two of the letters to go from firstborn to blessing. Yitzchak and the commentaries discuss possible motives intended to give a blessing of prosperity to Esav. When Rivka heard Yitzchak's plan, she quickly maneuvered the situation so that Yaakov would receive that blessing. And lest you think that this was a terrible, terrible thing to deceive Yitzchak, there is, first of all, Yaakov raises that possibility and said, what if my father finds out that I'm not Esav and he will curse me rather than bless me? And Rivka Imenu says, if that should happen, Olai kilolatcha b'ni, I will take the curse upon myself, just go do as I bid. Targum Onkelos, on that word Olai, adds a phrase in his rendition into Aramaic, which says, Rivka said, Olai it amar binavua. To me it was said as prophecy, meaning with divine insight and inspiration, that this is what has to become, and therefore do as I bid. And Yaakov did everything that his mother asked from that point on, without raising any objection. The result is that Yaakov received that bracha towards the end of the Sedra. He receives another bracha, this time without Yitzchak thinking that it was Esav that he was blessing rather than Yaakov. And we see this as a confirmation that Yitzchak agreed to the fact that Yaakov should get to the bracha. And he gets Birkat Avraham especially, which is the mark of the continuity of Avraham, Yitzchak, Yaakov, the tribes, and thereon to the Jewish people of today. But that's the way it had to be. Now, on the one hand, we see that Yaakov suffered in his life in remarkably similar circumstances because of what seems to be deceiving his father. The two main objects of the plot to get the blessing from Yitzchak to himself, Yaakov, rather than Esav, were goat and garment, or goat and coat. Goat is what Rivka asked Yaakov to bring her, and she prepared food for Yitzchak that he loved. Garment was the cloak or the coat of Esav to give the blind Yitzchak, whose sense of smell was acute, and he would feel and smell the garment of Esav to convince him that he was in fact in the presence of Esav. That same goat and coat, let's call it, deception, was one that Yaakov Avinu suffered when the brothers disposed of Yosef. They took his coat, his many-colored coat, many-striped coat, dipped it in goat blood, and brought it to Yaakov, and said, "See this, and figure out for yourself what happened." And Yaakov was plunged into a mournful period where he wasn't even sure if Yosef was really alive or dead, and it was even a worse kind of mourning than a straight grief for a departed individual. So the fact that Yaakov was deceived by his sons using the goat and the coat, which is exactly what Yaakov used to, quote, deceive his father, indicates that things were not proper. On the other hand, every indication that we have is that Yaakov not only should have gotten that bracha, which he did, but he had to get it this particular way. And the only thing I could offer is something in the form of an analogy, that when a person is seriously unwell for various and sundry reasons, he sometimes has to take medication or a treatment or some kind of drastic action that saves his life but has debilitating side effects. It could be chemotherapy making a person lose his hair and have all kind of other problems. It could be a strong medication that caused a harmful side effect. It could be an amputation that saved the person's life but rendered him handicapped. These are necessary situations. And I can't answer the question, why was it necessary for Yaakov to do this particular method to achieve the blessing of Yitzchak? although I've seen suggestions as to what it accomplished and could only accomplish in this way, but these are the facts that we're dealing with. Yaakov himself, when he's introduced to Paro and a couple of Sedras, and Paro says, "How old are you?" And he said, "I'm 130 lousy years old. And I will never reach the longevity of my parents, of my father and my grandfather." So it seems as if he was punished, mida keneged mida, measure for measure. And yet we need to maintain a confidence that this was meant to be the way it happened. On another note, there's an interesting play at the end of the Sedra. Rivka finds out that Esav is waiting for Yitzchak, his father, for whom he had tremendous honor and respect, legitimately so, to the point where he's held up sometimes as a model of one who fulfills honor thy father and thy mother. Esav is planning to kill Yaakov when Yitzchak is no longer in the picture. Rivka finds out about this, and she wants Yaakov to go back to her hometown until it's safe for him to return. She does not want to tell, apparently. She does not want to tell Yaakov, Yitzchak, that Esav wants to kill Yaakov. Either he won't believe her, or he will believe her, or it will hurt him, whatever. So instead, she raises a legitimate concern. I don't want Yaakov to marry any of the local women. Yitzchak already went through that. That's how he got Rivka. So Yitzchak agrees to send Yaakov to Padan Aram, Rivka's hometown, to find a wife from among the daughters of Lavan, Rivka's brother. And Rivka all that time is saying, good, 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 he's getting out of harm's way from Esav. In fact, at the beginning of next week's Sedra, we have Vayetze Yitzchak, Vayetze Yaakov mi Be'er Sheva, Vayelech Charana. Yaakov went out of Be'er Sheva, which is what Rivka wanted, Vayelech Charana, and he went to Charan, which is what Yitzchak asked him to do. Which means in one shot, we learn the ideal, and that is if parents have different requests and different needs, that a child be able to satisfy them both. But that's a small point. I referred earlier to the bracha of Avraham. Yitzchak, with open eyes, so to speak, says to Yaakov, V'yiten lecha, may God give you at Birkat Avraham, the bracha of Abraham, lecha ulezaracha itach, to you and to your descendants with you, lirishtecha et eretz migurecha, asher natan Elokim laAvraham, to inherit the land in which you dwell, as God has promised and said to Avraham. That's important also, especially because Avraham had two children, Yitzchak and Yishmael, and the descendants or supposed descendants of Yishmael are making counterclaims to this land. And we open up a Chumash, which is part of the Bible, which many religions venerate. And it says there, Ki v'Yitzchak yikare lecha zara. Your progeny will be identified through the line from Yitzchak, not from Yishmael. And if Yishmaelites claim Avraham as their ancestor and patriarch, it does not change the Torah's perspective of Ki v'Yitzchak yikare lecha zara, Nor do we have that problem when it comes to the next generation, where Yitzhak had twin sons, and there are descendants of Esav, let's say, a major portion of the world's population today, and it's clear that it's to go through Yaakov. And that's about it for this week's Torah Tidbits audio. I have enough time to just quickly mention that Rosh Chodesh, which is today, of Kislev, this year is one day. There are years where it's 2 days. It depends on the length of Mar Cheshvan. And let's say that it's usually a single day, but can be a double day. It could also fall out on any day of the week except for Shabbat, which is a side point. So I wish you a Chodesh Tov, Shabbat Shalom, Lehish Tameah.